Awesome. Nothing greater than to see our kids being taught in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't have a whole lot of time left to preach, so I'm going to have to preach fast. So my best advice is jump in when you can and hang on. I'd like us today to go back again one more time to the text that we have been looking at the last 2 weeks and take, if you will, the next step with the Apostle Paul. So I turn your attention again to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The story that's told of a wealthy Texan who threw a party for his daughter because she was approaching the age to get married. He wanted to find a suitable husband for his daughter, someone who was courageous, intelligent, and highly motivated, and so he invited a group of young, eligible bachelors to their home. And after they had enjoyed a wonderful time at this party that he had arranged, he took the suitors to the backyard, and he showed them their Olympic-sized swimming pool. But the pool was filled with poisonous snakes and alligators. And he made this announcement. Whoever will dive into this pool and swim the length of it can have his choice of one of three things. One, he can have $1 million. Two, he can have 10,000 acres of my very best land. Or three, he can have the hand of my daughter in marriage, who upon my death will inherit everything that I own. Well, no sooner had he finished with this when one of the young men splashed into the pool and reappeared on the other side in less than 2 seconds. The rich Texan was pretty overwhelmed with the young man's enthusiasm, and as he was climbing out of the pool, he said, "Son, I have never seen somebody so excited and motivated in all of my life. So I ask you, which do you want? You want $1 million? You want the 10,000 acres of land? Or do you want to marry my daughter?" Now the young man, as he was standing there dripping, looked up at him sheepishly and said, "Sir, what I really want is I would like to know who pushed me into the pool." Well, there's no doubt about that young man's motivation as he, in his enthusiasm, as he was pushed into that pool filled with dangerous and poisonous critters. And he made the swim of his life. I mean, let's face it, once he hit the water, he had to keep going. As believers in the Christian life, we've been talking about running a race. Maybe we can twist the analogy a little bit, maybe say that we're even in the swim of our lives. Nobody pushed us in, but life is indeed full of dangers and obstacles and challenges. And as we've been talking about weights that we can hang on to in this life that can slow us down or even stop us from progressing and moving forward, can stop us from changing and growing in Christ and receiving all that God has for us, But just like that young man, once we hit the water, we need to keep going. So considering one more time the words of the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3, we're in the race. God is calling us heavenward and we're not there yet. We're keeping our eyes on the goal to win the prize. Paul had a singular purpose. He was motivated. He was enthusiastic. He had a passion that drove him on. And he realized how important it was to learn from and to leave the past behind, to lay aside all of those weights, to stay focused and to keep going. I'm not there yet, and neither are you. And so we gotta keep going. We've gotta keep moving forward. So the title of my message this morning is simply, keep going. Keep going. Lord, thank you for this great service and time together. Thank you for what you're doing, what you've done and what you're going to do. Because you are not finished with us yet. Until you come, there's still more to be done. Help us, Lord, to be all that you want us to be. You've got greater things for us. But we've got to keep going. We've got to keep moving forward in you. Lord, one more time, I ask for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit so that I can preach this message and share your word with your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, some people sadly just wander around in this Christian life. They stay pretty much the same. They don't grow. They don't really change. They get stuck in the past. Or maybe they become satisfied with where they are and they don't move forward. Well, Paul was not going to let that happen to him, and I hope you don't let that happen to you either. Paul had a purpose. He said very clearly, this one thing I do. No matter what was behind him in the past or what he had already accomplished, Paul had a motivation, a straining toward what God had yet ahead of him. And he was determined to move forward in Christ and attain the goal that God had in store for him. And he was not going to be deterred from it. I wonder, do you have that same kind of motivation today? Do you have that same kind of determination in your heart? No matter what, Paul was going to keep going. How about you? So I'd like us in the next few moments to look a little bit further at Paul's words to see what he was going to do in his own life and what he is encouraging and challenging us to do in our lives as well. And I lift out three things that I think Paul is saying to us as he's encouraging us to keep going. And here's what he did. Number one, he concentrated his efforts. He concentrated his efforts. Paul's, when you read this, you can't help but recognize that Paul's desire and his determination was very clear. He had one goal. He had one goal. You heard the old saying, a jack of many trades, but a master of none. We try to do too many things in this life. We try to do too many things in this world. Paul was saying, I can't do it all, but I'm going to focus on the goal, the one thing that's most important. His goal was that he was going to know Christ. He was going to know Christ, and he was not going to let anything from his past hold him back or keep him from his goal of knowing Christ Jesus. He was going to press on. He was going to keep going until the race was over and he had won the prize. What is your goal in this life? What are you focused on? Do you have that same kind of motivation, of desire, determination in your heart to focus on the goal, to concentrate your efforts on the most important thing? Paul had a singleness of purpose. He said it so clearly, this one thing I do. How many remember sitting in class in school? I remember those days. I was guilty, as I'm sure you probably were too, of having those moments in school when you were supposed to be doing your work. Maybe you were even supposed to be taking a test and you found yourself looking out the window. Especially when, you know, spring fever hit. And guys, maybe you weren't looking out the window. Maybe you were looking at that cute girl next to you. I don't know what you were looking at. But it was really easy to get distracted. They called it daydreaming. How many ever did some daydreaming in school? You know, and then, oh my goodness, the teacher called on you. And you didn't know what the question was. Because you were daydreaming. And you said, hama, 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 can you repeat the question, please? And it was really obvious that you weren't paying attention. Been there, done that. Or the bell rang, and you realized that you hadn't gotten your work done. More homework. You know, life is a lot like that. It's easy to get distracted because life is full of so many things, so much stuff, so many things vying for our attention. And it's very easy to get distracted, to lose our concentration, to get off course in life. It's easy to get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the things that really won't last and won't matter in the end. It's easy to lose sight of the goal and to miss the target. But Paul knew what was important, what he wanted and what he needed to do. We talked about it last week that Paul, as a religious man, had an awful lot of things going for him. He talked about it. Here in chapter 3 in verses 4 through 6, he said that he had a lot of reasons to put confidence in the flesh and his accomplishments and who he was and what he had done. He says in verse 4, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I've got more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, which literally meant that he spoke fluent Hebrew. Because by that time, very few Jews actually spoke Hebrew. Only the very learned and educated could actually speak Hebrew. Most of them spoke Aramaic. So he was an exceptional individual in the realms of religion, in the Jewish faith. In regard to the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. But you see, to Paul, none of that mattered. In fact, he realized it was a hindrance. It's sad how even religion can keep people from really knowing Christ. And he was willing to give all of that up for Christ. He continues in verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of what? Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That's what Paul realized was most important to him. I said this last week, and it bears repeating, that everything is nothing. Everything is nothing compared to knowing Christ. And anything and everything that distracts us, that hinders us, that deters us, that holds us back from Christ should be dropped. It should be shed. It should be let go of. It should be gotten away from. And like Paul, our greatest single purpose in life should be to know Christ, because nothing else comes even close. Many of you are familiar with Pastor Rick Warren in his famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren says this, and I quote, "God deeply desires that we know Him intimately. In fact, He planned the universe and orchestrated history, including the details of our lives, so that we could become His friends." Wow. He says, knowing and loving God is our greatest privilege, and being known and loved is God's greatest pleasure. It's difficult, he says. It's difficult to imagine how an intimate friendship is possible between an omnipotent, invisible, perfect God and a finite, sinful human being. More than anything, God wants to be known by us, by you. And the greatest thing that we can do in our lives is to know Him, to have a personal, ongoing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The fact is, my friends, life is short. How many have figured that out? Life is not only far too short, it's also very demanding. And we can't seek everything. So we must be sure to seek after the one most important thing: to know God. Paul not only had a singleness of purpose, but he also kept proper priorities. I like to call this the passion of Paul. You know, we're all passionate about something. Paul's passion, what he wanted most in life, was to know Christ. He continues in verses 10 and 11, he says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Life is so full, and it passes by so quickly. There's so many things that compete for our attention. My friend, what is your greatest desire in life? What's your highest priority? What's more important to you than anything else? Is it to know Christ? Is it to know Christ? But what exactly does it mean to know Christ? You know, it's more than just knowing about Him. Many people know about Him. They know who He is. They may know something about what He did, what He preached, what He taught. They may know about Him. But it's a lot more than knowing about Christ. It's even more than knowing Him as Savior. I want you to get a hold of this important truth. It's more than knowing about Jesus, and it's even more than knowing Him as Savior. Although that is a very important first step, coming to Jesus Christ and receiving, accepting His free gift of eternal life, being born again by the Spirit into the family of God, giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Savior. But it's even more than that. It's making Him Lord and Master of your life. Becoming a follower, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Getting saved is not the end, it's only the beginning. The sad thing is, many people stop there. They want their sins forgiven. They want their ticket to heaven punched. They want their fire insurance premium paid up. But being a Christian is a lot more than that. being born again, being saved, must lead to more. How many of you are here are born again? You're saved. You know Christ is your Savior. Guess what? God has more for you. He has a lot more for you. It's growing deeper, becoming stronger in your relationship and your walk with Christ, knowing Him more and more. As Paul said, in power and in pain. Whoa, 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 wait a minute, Pastor. I like the power part, but you can leave the pain part out. Well, it just doesn't work that way. Because the way to know His power is to go through the pain. No pain, no power. It's the way it works. What does Paul really want to know? He wants to know Christ, and he knows that in order to really truly know Christ, he has to know both the power and the pain. My friend, you can't really, 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 really know Christ until you have experienced and witnessed His power, and you can't experience and witness His power until you've experienced it through the pain of life. Because pain is always for a purpose. When you've gone through those challenges and those hardships and those difficulties, that's where we really learn to follow Him and to trust Him and to see that He is who He says He is, that He does what He says that He will do. When God proves Himself to us in the pain of life. The key to sharing in the life of His resurrection is also sharing in His sufferings. Knowing Christ in the everyday, the difficult, the hard, the painful experiences of life. Following Him, trusting Him, living with and in Him through the difficulties of life. Are you in a painful experience right now? Take hope, be encouraged. Because when God brings you through, and I didn't say if, I said when God brings you through, you will have learned to know Him and to follow Him and to trust Him even more. It's those difficult times, those troubles and trials that we go through that serve to help us to grow and mature us and to know Him better. That's why elsewhere Paul can say, I'm thankful for my trials and my tests and my tribulations. Because that's how I really learn to trust God in my life. You see, we're human. I think all of us here are human. I know I sure am. And as humans, sometimes it's not easy to keep going. But it's absolutely essential to go through these situations, these hard times. It's absolutely essential to keep going and to see ourselves clearly with humility. You see, the other thing that pain does in our lives is it makes us humble. Show me a person who's never gone through pain in their life, and I'll show you a person who hasn't learned humility. Who thinks they can still do it all on their own, and they know all the answers. But when you've come to the point and the place in your life where you're broken, you know it's not you anymore. You know it's all God. It's got to be God. You got to know God. When you come to that point where you're broken, you see yourself clearly. You know that you must decrease and He must increase. It's only when we submit to Him, when we become humble, that we can really, truly begin to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And Paul knew that it wasn't just one point in time, but it was a lifelong process. And he said in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on, I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going. Paul says, I'm not there yet. Paul had a clear picture of himself. Do you, my friend, have a clear picture of yourself? And where you are in your walk with Christ today. He knew that he needed to keep going, and he knew that he needed help, that he was totally dependent on Jesus Christ, and so am I. And I hope you realize that so are you. We need Him. We need to know Him. We need to trust Him. We need to depend on Him. And we must keep going and moving forward until this race is finished. And the prize is won. Are you continually growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So Paul concentrated his efforts, but secondly, as we can quickly move on, secondly, Paul focused on the goal. He focused on the goal. How's your focus today? How's your focus? Are you straining toward the goal? If you don't focus on the one most important thing, you'll wind up without anything. If you don't focus on the one most important thing, you'll wind up without anything. But if you go after the most important thing, you'll end up with everything. I hope you got that. If you don't focus on the one most important thing, you'll wind up without anything. But if you go after the most important thing, you'll end up with everything. Paul was focused. He kept things simple. Paul wasn't a complicated guy. He kept it simple. He knew his purpose. And he was always looking ahead. You know, my dad used to say something that there were times, frankly, I didn't understand. And I wasn't sure if I agreed with him. But I realized that as I go on in life, and I have more to look back on, I realized my dad was right. My dad used to say this. He'd say, the Christian life really isn't all that complicated. You know, we make it a lot harder than it needs to be, or that God intended it to be. My dad said, the Christian life isn't really that complicated. He said, it's not always easy, but it's really pretty simple. Comes down to this. Following Jesus. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep moving forward. And finish this race. Finish this race. You know, life is far less complicated, and it's a lot more meaningful when we know where we're going. When we keep the end in view. We know where we're going. You know, Paul always knew exactly where he was going and why. Now, I know you don't know this, so I'm gonna share this shocking piece of information with you today. Are you ready? Now, when I share this, I want you to know that I told you this. So make sure you give me the credit for this, okay? Life can be hard. I know that you didn't know that before, but I just want to let you in on that. Life can be hard. And it, as I say, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get off course. It's easy to lose our direction. And it's even very easy to become stagnant. And to stop changing and to stop growing. You know, the day that I stop changing and growing is the day that God calls me home. Until then, I got to keep going. Got to keep moving forward. Because God has more. I'm not there yet, and neither are you. We've got to have a clear purpose. Why we're here and what we're here to do. We've got to know where we're headed. It's so much easier to run the race when we have a goal and our eyes are fixed on the prize. So what was Paul's secret? I think Paul's secret was three things. Number one, as I say, he concentrated his efforts. Secondly, he focused on the goal. And thirdly, he lived his life with purpose. He lived his life with purpose. Is that how you're living your life in Christ? Pastor Greg Laurie said this, and I quote, "Paul knew where he was going. And if you don't know where you are going, then you won't know whether you get there." Isn't that good? I can say that because I'm quoting Pastor Greg. If you don't know where you're going, then you won't know whether you get there. Paul was essentially saying, my purpose in life is to know Him. My primary purpose is to intimately, deeply, and personally know God. And then Pastor Greg asks, is that your purpose in life right now? End quote. What is your goal? What is your priority? What is your purpose in this life? And quickly, let's look at one more thing. Paul faced and he overcame life's challenges. He faced and he overcame life's challenges. Paul certainly had a lot of obstacles in his life. We talked about it last week. But formerly, before he came to Christ, he was a persecutor of Christians. Paul had a history. Anybody here have a history? Paul had a history. And a lot of it wasn't good. But he was not going to let his past become an obstacle in his life. Last week we were talking about where he said, forgetting what is behind. Talking about laying aside those weights that we often carry around, those weights from the past that we carry around in our lives, and how important it is to let go of them and let God heal your past. And I don't mind saying it for the third Sunday in a row. If you're carrying around a weight from your past, let go of it, give it to God, and let Him heal it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He can do that for you, my friend. Paul had many obstacles. He had a lot of trials, not only in his past, but in his present life. Talks about a few of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 24, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Paul was living a dangerous life. Make a good movie. And then he says, and I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. How many know what that's like? I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And then he's got to add this. Besides everything else, oh my gosh. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Wow. But you know what? He never let any or all of those things, he never let them stop him from moving forward. Why? Because he had that desire, that motivation to know Christ, to overcome, and to keep going no matter what. He wasn't going to let anything deter him from winning the race and winning the prize. And he always had a positive and a purposeful outlook. In fact, Paul used everything that happened in his life to glorify God and to help him to be more like Jesus. In every difficult circumstance that he faced, he could look up to Jesus and he could look out to his goal to please God and win the prize of heaven. So as we draw this message to a close, what must we learn from Paul? What should we learn? We need to keep running the race. We need to keep going. Keep going. Keep growing. Keep moving forward. Stay focused on the goal. Be determined to win that prize. Keep straining ahead, even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it. Because we know that it's all worth it in the end. We know where we're going. We know where we're headed. It's going to be worth it. And there's nothing greater than knowing Christ. What do you need to do today, my friend? Keep going. There's changes to be made. There's growth to be attained. There's a prize to be won. There's heaven to be gained. Forget what is behind. Press on toward the goal. Despite any obstacles you may face, with Christ they can all be overcome. I get the idea that Paul just didn't plan on losing this race we call the Christian life. Neither should you. Neither should you. Your plan, my plan, should be to keep running the race and win that prize. So here is Paul's conclusion to the matter. Back in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Listen to what he said. After all of his words that we've been considering, he concludes thusly in verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. Come on, church! Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Anybody else feeling goosebumps? Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. It was His desire. Can I say that it's my desire? It's my heart, it's my longing for each and every one of you. Stand firm in the Lord. Keep going. Let God keep growing you and changing you and making you into the person He created you to be. Let Him take you further. Let Him take you forward into all that He has for you, and He's got more for you. He's got greater things for you. So that we can all say with Paul, more than anything else, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. But I'm not there yet. So this one thing I do, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. And we missed one verse that we dare not miss. Verse 15. All of us who are mature, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Are you determined? No matter the cost, no matter the challenges, no matter the obstacles, are you determined to follow Christ, to know Him more, and to keep going? That's my goal. That's my desire. That's where I want to go. How about you? Lord, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the moving of Your Spirit. Lord, I don't know where everybody here is today. I know where I am. I'm not there yet. But I want to keep going. I want to know You more. I want You to do greater things. Lord, and I pray that You will minister to everybody here today. You do know where everybody is. You know where we all need to go. You know what You're doing, what You want to do in each and every heart and each and every life. Lord, whatever it takes, even if it's pain, even if it's breaking us, Lord, making us humble before You, God, so that You can do what only You can do. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Have Your way. I pray, God, that we will all hear from You and respond to You with open and hungry hearts, with a passion that Paul had, with that determination to keep going. In Jesus' name. My invitation is very simple. If there's anybody here, you've not given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, He's here for you today to forgive you of your sins, to give you a brand new life, to turn you around and head you in the right direction. If you need to come to Christ, Stu's going to put on a song. The altars are open. I want to invite you to come. There'll be people here to pray with you, to receive Christ. Maybe you have given your life to Christ, but you're not where you need to be. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you're not following Jesus. You're not where you need to be. God is speaking to your heart, and you know you need to keep going. You need to make that choice, that decision, that determination today to move forward in Him. There's areas in your life, maybe something in the past you need to let go. Maybe some weight you need to get rid of. You know God wants to change you and to grow you and to make you into that person that He wants you to be. Stu, would you put on the altar song, please? The altars are open. If you need to leave, I understand. You may be dismissed, but please do so quietly and reverently. But I pray that you'll come to Jesus, spend some time in His presence, some time in prayer, and let God do a work in your life so that you can keep going all the way home and finish the race. God bless you. The altars are open. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I've grown so deep into this ground. I've tried so hard to pull.